Once upon a time, there was a blacksmith. And the blacksmith, he had a very fine workshop. In the middle of it, he had this great fire. A roaring, red-hot fire that he would melt down the iron rods and he would bash them into shape to make all the things that were needed in that town. Sometimes he may be making horseshoes. Other times he'd be making iron gates. He made all the things that the townspeople needed, and his door was often banging open, and one of them would come in asking for the next such thing. However, one day, a very fine gentleman comes walking into his workshop. "Can I help you?" says the blacksmith. "Well," says the gentleman, "I am looking for somebody who can make me a crown for my son."
"A crown for your son?"
"Well, yes," says the fine gentleman. "You see, I am a king, and I have travelled a long, long way looking for someone who can turn this into a crown." And he pulls from his cloak this big lump of gold. The blacksmith almost shrieks. He said, "What a sight! Yes, could you possibly help me? You can work with metal," says the king.
"Well, I don't..."
But before he can say more, the king has thrust the gold into his hands and said, "Couldn't you do it?" And no sooner is that gold in his hands than our friend the blacksmith, why, he can already see in his mind's eye the crown that he could make with it. He can already see it. He stammers and he blusters and he says, well, "Yes, okay, I'll do it."
"Very good," says the king.
"I'll be back in a month." And off he goes, leaving the blacksmith staring down at that lump of gold. Well, he works and he works and he works and he works. With every spare minute, he works and he creates, to his amazement, the most beautiful crown, exactly as he saw in his mind's eye. By the end of the month, and only just then, it's all ready and so beautiful you can hardly look at it. And that morning, when a whole month has gone past, why, he puts it on the workbench, ready for the king, ready for the return of the king. But although he waits there all day, the king doesn't come. Although he waited into the evening, still the king didn't come. "Oh, he must have been delayed," thought the blacksmith. And he packed the crown away and he went off to bed. But the next day, just the same, he put the crown on the workbench and he waited and waited for the king to come. But this day was just the same as the last. All day long he waited, all day long in vain. The king did not arrive. And this went on for day after day after day. Until after several weeks, why, he made a special box. A special box out of fine wood, lined with sheep's wool. And he would keep the crown in the box, close at hand, for just that moment when the king would return. He thought of the king's son who was waiting for his crown. And how sad he would be if his father never came home. Months went by,
until eventually, where the blacksmith, he takes the crown in its box and he puts it up in the attic, just for safekeeping. He doesn't want anyone to steal it. But every day he hopes the king will come. Until a whole year has gone by. And after 1 year and 1 day, why, the door to his workshop bursts open and in comes the king. "Oh, you've come back," said the blacksmith. "Oh, I'm so glad to see you." The king, however, looked quite dishevelled. He said, "I am so sorry I've kept you waiting all this time. I've had the most difficult year."
"You have?" says the blacksmith.
"Oh, yes," says the king. "I've been looking everywhere for my son."
"You haven't found him?" said the blacksmith.
"Oh, no, I couldn't find him anywhere."
"Well, is he lost? Is he in trouble?"
Not exactly," says the king.
"You see, I don't actually have a son, but I'm looking for someone who could become my son. I'm looking for a man that I could leave my kingdom to. And for that, I need a really honest man."
"I see," says the blacksmith. "Well, there were no honest men in my kingdom, so I went travelling, you see, and that's why I came here. But unfortunately, I've now discovered that honest men are as hard to find in this kingdom as they were in my own."
"And you didn't find anybody?"
"I did not," said the king. "And so now I'm afraid I shall just go back home, and I do not know what I shall do."
"Oh, but you can't go. You've got to take the crown," says the blacksmith.
"The crown? Oh, well, I have no one to give it to," says the king.
"Yes, but it's not mine. You must take it. Let me at least show it to you."
And he goes upstairs and he brings down that magnificent crown in its box. No sooner does he open the lid and lift out that thing of marvel and wonder than the king's jaw, it drops open. He's never seen anything so beautiful. He looks at it from all sides. "Yes, oh yes," he says, "this is perfect." Blacksmith says, "Well, you must take it. Please, take it." And it's just then that the king starts to look differently at the blacksmith. This man who made such a treasure, who kept it safe all this time. A dishonest man might have decided that the king was never coming back, might have melted down the crown and sold off the gold as coins. A dishonest man would never have kept it in his attic, waiting for its true owner to return. And as he looked at the blacksmith, the king realized that his long search was over. He said, "Would you like to be my son? You are the most honest man that I have met so far. You be my son."
"What? But no, I, me?"
says the blacksmith. And just as happened a year ago, the king takes that crown and he puts it on the blacksmith's head. And no sooner does he feel the touch of the gold upon his head than the blacksmith knows that this is his crown, that he was born to wear it. And when the king asks him again, "Will you be my son?" He says without hesitation, yes.
Why, right there and then, there's a rumble of carriage wheels outside as four great carriages arrive, each pulled by eight white horses. And they get inside, and the royal retinue, it makes its way back to the king's kingdom. And there is the most marvellous ball. People come from all over the place. They come to celebrate the new prince's arrival. And when the king dies after many more happy years, why, it's the prince that takes his place. And never was there a more honest king. I do believe that kingdom was the happiest place you could ever imagine. People came visiting that place and said they'd never seen anything like it. Why, I was there myself one time. I was there myself and wandering around and feeling how lovely and peaceful it all was. I said, how did this place get like this? For it's so uncommon, so unlike any other place I've ever seen. And an old lady sitting by the side of the road, she says, you're not from round here, are you? And I said, no. And then she started to tell me the story. And with finer flourishes of words, with far more elegant sentences than I could ever say, she proceeded to tell the exact same story that I just told you. Oh yes, she told me the same story that I just told you.